The Creator didn't just pull down the window and say hi. The Creator loved you and gave Himself for you. Amen. And that's not an illustration. That's for real. Do you understand? And He comes to us in the person of the Holy Spirit and He pours His love on us. Your importance, your value comes from God. So here, we've got the beginnings of something to work with here. The blueprint, okay? This is the architect's blueprint. Your destiny. Who are you? This is who you are originally. This is who you are as the plan goes. You were made in the image of God. You were made free to bear in yourself the love of God, to image Him in creation. Plus, this is a formula, okay? You're into formulas? Plus, you mathematicians will enjoy this. Okay, plus. So you get that one? Who are you? Answer the question, who are you? You're made in the image of God. You're not an animal, you're not a beast, you're not a bird. There's a Grand Canyon. No, there's 10 Grand Canyons between you and the highest primate. You are unique. You're made in God's image. Okay, that's the first thing. Now, plus, you're unconditionally loved. There's a voice from the outside. God's voice. It says, I've bestowed my love on you. Plus, I am able to respond to that love and know it and rest there that I am loved, made in the image of God, plus loved unconditionally, plus able to respond and rest in that love, equals who I am. Did you get that? God bless your nod. Is there another? Do you understand what I mean? Did you really get that? You're not into formulas, okay? This is how we were originally planned to get up in the morning. You matter. You supremely matter. When you put your footprints in the sand, it matters. Eternally it matters, because you're not just an animal. You're made in God's image. You're somebody just by creation. But then add to that, as you get out of bed in the morning, I am loved because I exist, because I live and breathe. I'm loved. Now add to that, I have been made in such a way that I can respond to that love and know it. Now take a deep breath and know I'm a person. That's your destiny. It's who you are. Out from that, now you can perform as a functioning, normal person. Life becomes an expression then of God's love. I know I'm significant. There's meaning to my life. See, when I go to work, I'm not the pawn of my boss. I'm God's child. And it's real. I'm loved. And I'm not going to work just to earn money. I'm going to be the love of God. And I don't even have anxiety for the future because I'm loved of God. And even if we go through hard times, I know that I'm loved of God. And He's for real. You see, so I've got meaning to life. I'm significant. I have worth. All in my relationship to God. There is nowhere in the scripture the possibility of a normal human being just hanging out in a vacuum. A normal human being is one who has a relationship to God that's working, functioning. And there's two of them. There's a woman there too. And everything I've just said about the man applies to her, because Adam really means mankind. So here's two people who view each other made in the image of God. He looks at her, she looks at him with awe. And do you understand what I mean by that? I mean, take it in. That person next to you will be alive in 10 trillion years' time. Either as someone so glorious that you'd mistake them for Jesus if you saw them now as they will be then, or someone so hideous that no science fiction movie has ever portrayed them. There's no such thing as a mere human. I'm talking about people that God made. They stand in awe of each other. And they know that they're loved with infinite love. Which means he comes to her and she comes to him not needing love, but with an overspill to give away. So this isn't a marriage where I'm going to suck everything I can out of him or her. I've got so much I've come to love. You follow? That's why he called her what he did. It comes over in our Bibles as called her woman. That's a poor translation. The word is Isha in Hebrew, which means my lady. My lady. And he, Lord, and beside him his lady, standing in awe and honor and love one to another because of their relationship to God and because of what God bestowed upon them. And they weren't religious. Religion came in with the fall of man. Did you know that? Sin invented religion. Because religion, by definition, assumes a separation between God and man. They weren't separated. They lived inside God. Is this making sense? God embraced them. They lived inside the arms of God, put it that way. So how could you be religious? You're inside God. Religion assumes you're outside. You're trying to get to him. Right? Come on. Tell me, do fish go to the water house every Sunday? Do we go to the air house? Fish live in water. Human bodies live in air. Human spirits live in God. Go to God's house, if you want to call it that. Not to meet with God, please. If that's the case, I meet with God in my bed, in my living room. How can you meet with God? You live inside. And he lives inside you. I go to the house of God to meet you. And meeting you together, we'll worship him. So God loves them. Or to put that another way, God actively works. God's love is an energy. It's infinite energy, God's love is. And it's working to bring this man and woman that he's created to their fullest potential, to their highest and their best, to bring them to their fulfillment as human beings, which is to live to the very fullest in God and God in them. To bring them to becoming a whole person. That's what I mean when I say God loves you. It means there's an energy at work in your life right now. An energy that is working to bring you to your fullest potential as a human being. Then what on earth went wrong? I mean, get through saying that lot. And yet we find ourselves feeling inferior. How could you feel inferior if this is all true? And I'm serious. We feel unworthy. Some might even go as far as using the term worthless, unlovable. I'll tell you what went wrong. And don't just say, well, they sinned. I know they sinned. Can you tell me what that means? If you know what that means, then you've got no problems with what's going on in the world today. Let me spin out what it means when we use those archaic words like original sin, whatever that means. There came to the original couple the rebel leader of a cosmic rebellion already in progress. And he came, and hear me very, very carefully, he came with an alternative meaning to life. Can you forget all the theological stuff you've heard? Satan came with an alternative ID. There was the voice of the Creator that says, who are you? You're made in my image. You're unconditionally loved. You can respond, I've put it in you. That's who you are. Just rest in my love and out from that go and perform. Satan came and says, I have an alternative suggestion. So here you've got the voice of God the Creator and the alternative voice, the voice of the Creator that comes with truth. This is the way you are. This is your blueprint. This is the only way to function. And now comes the alternative voice, which is the lie. I didn't say a lie. This is the lie. You mustn't, please, everything you've ever thought of Satan, forget it, because every image you have of Satan was invented by Satan to make sure you wouldn't believe in him. Satan is a gorgeous creature, the highest of the angels. He fell because he started the cosmic rebellion. He comes now. He says, tell me, did God say you couldn't eat of that tree? We all know, you're the closest to him, you would know the facts. Could you clue us in? We've heard a rumor. We've heard it said. You're not allowed to eat of the tree. I can't believe it's true, but tell her. She said, that's the truth. He said, we mustn't eat or touch the tree. In the day that we eat, we'll die. got to be kidding.
Shut up. Oh.
But the truth is, I love you. I'm your friend. I'm on your side. And let me tell you this. He's telling you not to eat of the tree. Because he knows. See, he knows that when he made you, he made someone as big as himself. And he's terrified now. He's got to keep you groveling. What's all this stuff about dependence and receiving bestowed love? How demeaning. You're on eternal welfare, always on the take. No, let me introduce you to who you really are. Let me draw upon the depths of your creativity. Let me tell you, you're really the same as him. But he's got you groveling at his feet and telling you, let me tell you, you eat of that tree. And you'll discover who you really are. You'll become just like him. You'll become a god in yourself. You'll no longer have to be on the take from him, because you'll have everything within yourself. You won't have to see what he wants. You'll do what you want. And then you can walk alongside of him. He's got his opinions about life. You've got yours. You might even check in with him every Sunday just to see how he's doing. If life gets a bit tough, you can even ask a bit of help. But you see, you can do it yourself. You'll be walking alongside of God, not inside him. You'll know about him, you won't know him. Do you follow what I'm... You won't live out from him. If you think of him at all, you'll live for him. You'll do it, of course, because you've got the power. You're God, don't forget. See, you can do it. You are the end in yourself. That was original sin. I mean, it doesn't sound like sin, does it? Unless you really listen to what he's saying. No longer related to God, just believing about him. No longer inside his love, but walking alongside. The Bible calls this the lie. The lie. And it is the foundation of the entire world system as we know it today, that man can do it in himself. Romans 1, which is a commentary on that fall of man, it says they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. That's in the margin, the lie. The devil does not stand in truth, said Jesus, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks, and again it's in the margin, the lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Man believed it. Man said, in effect, I believe you. That means I'm no longer a creature. Because a creature must, by definition, be dependent upon the Creator. Does that make sense? If I'm a creature, I'm getting life from somewhere. Man said, I'm not. I'm here because I am here. I'm getting life from nowhere except me. So he said goodbye to being dependent upon God. He sets himself in the center. Well, what's he got left? This man who had love inside of him, surrounded by love, made for fellowship and relationship with God. What's he got left once he said goodbye to that? This stuff. Bible calls it flesh. My createdness. Because this stuff goes into the invisible inside me. My imagination was created. My mind was created. My emotion. That's all I'm left with. The batteries have gone. The source of my functioning has gone. Do you realize that once man is separated from the love of God, he's fighting his own destiny? Look, even your stomach doesn't work without love. Did you know that? Come, you do know that. When you get full of anger, bitterness, resentment, rage, acid goes into your stomach. Now, doesn't that tell you something? Your body isn't made to work without love. Collapses. Did you read that scientific thing where even your heart goes wrong when you get angry? I find that fascinating. Fascinating. You get full of anxiety and your neck screws up. Isn't that true? You don't work. Now that's something you can see. I mean, very right, I see that. Let me tell you, there are deeps inside of you that you haven't seen. You don't work without God's love. You don't work. You don't function. None of us do. But worse than that, if man isn't related to God, who is he related to? Satan. Jesus spoke of man as now your father, the devil. I've joined a family of self for myself. No love now. I've joined a family of hate, of slavery and shame. Now, what happened? The very first reaction to arriving in this family of darkness, man says he's ashamed. He was naked. He was afraid. First of all, he tries to hide from his wife with fig leaves. And then when God shows up, they both run in the trees and try and hide from God behind the trees. What's going on? You might say it's in slow motion. This is the core of the belief system that makes the race, our race, what it is today. And if I'm speaking of the race, I'm speaking about you and I. Please don't exclude. We're not the only ones that we're excluding. No, no, no. This is our story. The first reaction when man separated himself from the unconditional love of God, the first reaction he had was guilt and shame. And he wanted to hide. That was the first thing. And the first thing was not hide from God. It was hide from the other one. So they put on fig leaves, not to hide from God. Hide from each other. When God showed up, fig leaves weren't enough. They tried to hide behind trees. Right? And it's this that's passed on. It's been passed on from them down through our own families. This cursing, shaming, blitzing to our lives. It is this that Jesus came to deliver us from. Not just to get you to heaven when you die, whatever that means. I believe in it, but it's too big for me to preach about. All I know is it is so. But I can talk about what he says I can talk about, which is that he came to deliver us from this curse in our lives, this blitzing of our whole being, to take out of us the shame and the guilt. By the way, let's get this straight. Guilt. That's the horror of knowing you're wrong. I have violated the relationship between creature and creator. Let me say this, guilt is good. I saw a sign the other day, you know, one of those circles with guilt in it and then the cross through it, you know, no to guilt. That's no. Now you'll get that in some humanistic help group that only shares ignorance. No. I mean that. No, don't you go along with that nonsense. Guilt is good. If you writhe in guilt, thank God you're salvable. The devil has no guilt. You're guilty, it proves you can be saved. Thank God for guilt. And thank God if you came from a family that's based in guilt. I mean that too. What I mean, in a family that's based in guilt, if you do something wrong, they tell you that is wrong. And if you do this, it won't be wrong anymore. And you do this, and it's not wrong anymore, and we all go on our way happy. Thank God for that. It's the other stuff. Shame. What caused them to hide? Skulk in the trees behind fig leaves from each other. That's the thing. That's the devil. Shame. See, some people think that shame is sort of double-dipped guilt. Right? You know, industrial strength guilt. No, it isn't. Shame is entirely different. Did you hear what I said? Guilt? Something I did. I have violated the creature-creator relationship. Or if we're talking about homes, I did something. And when they come to me, they tell me, you did that. Shame has not to do with what I did. Shame points the finger at me and says, you are no good. You are worthless as a human being. Because of what you've done, you are unlovable. You are no good, and you're totally bad. Where does this shame come from? The lie. Now, did you follow? We're going to enlarge on this in the second hour, but you follow me quickly. What does the lie say? You're God. You can handle this by yourself. You don't need him. You can find your own meaning to life. You can find your own reason for living. You can do that all by yourself. So I believe that. I can handle life by myself. Sin is that which never should be and never can be. Did you Did you follow me there? Sin never should be, but also it never can be. Sin says you can be as God. You can be independent. You can fashion your own life. You can find your own meaning to life. You can't. Sin means I will pursue a fantasy my entire life. But it will never happen. I've got a standard expectancy. I am going to have this fantastic life. I'm going to do this, 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 this. I'm going to do this, this, this. And I will be filled with joy and peace and love. And everybody will be doing what I want them to do because I am God and I control people just like a chess game. And it doesn't happen. Never happens. Not even in one 24-hour period. It never happens. Because it's all an illusion. I mean, if I'm God, I'm strong in myself. I know the future. Of course I know the future. Any respectable God knows the future. And I know how to handle the future. Any respectable God does. Here I stand at the gates of the Garden of Eden, I'm scared spitless. Because I don't only not know the future, I don't know the present. I don't know how to handle tomorrow. And for the first time, I've got to put a word on this crazy thing that's happening to me called anxiety and worry. Because only little things who believe they're gods worry. Because it's the idea I should know the future, and I don't. And I should know what to do with the future, and I don't. So worry, anxiety happens. And I realize I don't have a handle on life. I don't know to handle. I'm scared. Gods aren't supposed to be scared. I feel then ashamed of myself because I think I ought to be perfect. I ought to do everything perfect. I ought to know everything perfectly, and I don't. But because I believe the satanic lie that I bought into that says you should be perfect, and I'm not, therefore I'm ashamed of who I am. I ought to be able to be perfect for God so that God would be proud of me, and I'm not, so I'm ashamed. And I crawl into church whenever I do, and I say, oh God, I'm no good, I'm no good. And I'm pretty certain he either laughs or says, for goodness sake, shut up. Because that is the satanic lie that says, independent of you, God, I can be as you, so you'll be proud of me. You're never supposed to be. You can't move. You can't be a proper human being without the life of God flowing into you. You're not supposed to be able to produce the perfect life apart from God's life coming to you first. But the lie says you can. You've got it in you. Just try hard enough. That spawned 1,000 churches in Texas that says, try hard, do it better. You can do it if you try. Dedicate your life, rededicate your life. It's all part of the lie that says, you can do it, you can do it. You can't. You never meant to. You were created not to be able to. And then the devil put in the fantasy that says, no, you were never meant to. You never will. Until I just relax and say, I'm loved. And unless you pour your love into me, there's nothing coming out of me. So man was ashamed because he believed the lie and didn't believe God. God says, I love you just as you are. The lie says, independent of God, you can be so fantastic. The whole world will admire you and God himself will have to admit you're like him. It ain't so. So I'm ashamed of myself because I believe that lie. Shame means I look at myself and I say, you're defective. There's something wrong with you. You're worthless. You're no good. Jesus said man was lost. Lost in himself. I don't know who I am anymore. The only way I knew who I was I listened to God say, I love you. That gave me my significance and my worth. I don't know who I am anymore because I'm listening to myself. I somewhere inside of me, I'm so fantastic. I'm as God. I've got to get a new self and everything. Doesn't work. My self-image is what God says about me, not what I see in myself. It's the voice of God's love that integrates me, gives me my identity. I find myself fleeing in the trees at the sound of God, saying, God could never love me. I'm supposed to be perfect. I'm not worth loving. God couldn't even want to be around me. I want to put on my fig leaves and hide from my fellow human beings and say, if ever you knew what I was like, you couldn't love me, because I'm not perfect. So I'm going to hide from you. I couldn't let you see me as I am. I feel, in the words of the Bible, naked. I'm afraid. And I'm split inside me. I walk alongside myself. I'm not only separated from God, I'm separated from myself. And I walk alongside myself. And I talk to myself all day long. You're stupid. You're worthless. You disgusting wretch. Call yourself a husband? If she really knew you, she couldn't love you. See, you laugh because you know what I'm talking about. You know, I've known this. To walk on the platform and preach a message. By the time I've hit that door, I'm saying to myself, well, they never come back. Call yourself a preacher? You didn't even make sense. Those stupid jokes, you're foolish. Non-stop, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Well, that's the introduction.
Malcolm Smith's ministry is dedicated to guiding believers into the reality of experiencing daily fellowship with the Father. This has been another message by Malcolm Smith. For a complete catalog of audio and video cassettes, write Malcolm Smith Ministries, Box 29747, San Antonio, Texas, 78229. Or you may order toll-free with MasterCard, Visa, or by COD by calling 800-533-8338.